battle just against flesh and blood or just against people, but against the powers of darkness. So, you know, what do we do when we're tempted by the enemy? What do we do when we hear a lie from the enemy? Or, you know, Marianne was talking about voodoo in Haiti. What do we do when we encounter something that's really spiritually dark? And how does that affect us as a community? So that's what I'm going to be talking about today, and it's something that I'm really passionate about, and I'm just so excited to share. We're going to be looking through Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, and we're going to look at, you know, how the devil works and how he tries to trip us up and how Jesus responded to him, and then how we can respond because of Jesus' example. Now, you might be thinking, you know, when I gave a little overview of what I'm sharing, well, this is going to be weird, right? Because we don't really talk about this a lot. And I think that's why it can kind of be this weird topic. And so I have, I think the reason why we don't talk about it is because it's unfamiliar to us. And there's three snared, I like to call it snared viewpoints of the devil that I think we can have. I've seen Christians either focus on him way too much, so everything is about the devil. You know, I was late to work today. Oh, the devil, you know. It's like, whoa. You know, the milk went bad in the fridge. It was the devil, you know. It's like, oh, okay. All right. And then I've seen the other side of the spectrum where it's like, who? The devil. Oh, is he still alive and active? Oh, I didn't even, you know what I mean? And so I think it's so important for us to have a healthy viewpoint of the enemy, because we know the enemy is real and he's active and he's working, but we don't want to have it so that all of our focus is on him. We don't want to give him all this credit and all this power over us because we know that he's defeated. I've also seen the blame game. I heard an awesome sermon I'll never forget called "The Devil Made Me Do It." Anyone ever encounter someone like that? You know, it's like, for example, oh, you know, at night I always get tripped up, you know, on the computer and I get into bad stuff and, oh, you know, the enemy made me do it. You know, no accountability for my actions. I've seen that a lot too. So these are the three snared viewpoints, but I love what the Bible says about the enemy. There's a great passage that I go to in Luke 10. And basically what happened, that Jesus sent out a bunch of people to spread the good news. And they come back to him and they're like, man, Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing, but they're like, you know, we could cast out demons in your name. We had authority over demons in your name. And they were so excited. And Jesus said, you know, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So you see the perspective there? Yes. The devil is real, and yeah, you do have authority over him as a Christian. But don't let that be your woohoo thing. Let the fact that you're going to heaven be what you celebrate. So as we go into this, I want you to have that balanced biblical perspective of the enemy. So now let's start reading in Matthew 4, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. So we see we've got Jesus and the devil on the scene. And the Bible makes it very clear that the devil, the enemy, same thing, is a liar. It says in John 8:44, he, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, or some translations say his own native language. He is a liar and the father of lies. And that's quite the contrast from Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we've got the enemy and we've got Jesus on the scene. And then we see that Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and nights and he was hungry. Can you imagine fasting that long? Can you imagine how, man, I go 2 hours without food and I'm already like, okay, I need my McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine how hungry he must have been and how physically weak? And, you know, personally, I don't really think it's a coincidence that that's when the enemy came in. When we are weak and compromised, whether it be physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, that's when the enemy likes to come in. because he likes to kick us when we're down. That's when we're weak. That's when we're the most susceptible. So when we are weak, we really need to be watchful and ready. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, Jesus answered, and I have the words of Jesus in red and in bold, and I underlined the words of Satan. But Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So you see how the enemy said, "If you are the Son of God." You see how sneaky that was? "If you are the Son of God." Now, wait a minute. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. We know that he was and is the Son of God. And interesting enough, if you go back just one chapter to Matthew 3, it says, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" Okay, so there's no question there. It's not if. He is the Son of God. But that's how the enemy loves to work. He loves to twist things a little bit. He loves to take a known truth, kind of twist it a little bit and confuse you and question it. Okay, and Jesus answered, "No, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And he's taking that from Deuteronomy. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Okay, so now the enemy is using scripture. This is actually Psalm 91, but he's using it out of context, and he's using it to manipulate Jesus. And the enemy loves to do that. This is why it's so important for us to know the Word of God. We've got to know the Word. We've got to be discipled and maturing and knowing the Word of God, because we can really get messed up. Okay, so let's see what happens next. Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." So do you see how the devil offered him a counterfeit solution? That's what the enemy loves to do. He likes to say, "Okay, this is what God has to offer you, and I'm going to offer you something that kind of looks a little bit like it, but it doesn't even come close in comparison. There's no value in it. It's a counterfeit." Okay, so the enemy's saying, you know, forget about dying on the cross. Forget about being this glorious king that, you know, dies on the cross and takes the weight of all of our sin and all of our junk and dysfunction, because he was the only one worthy to take all of our sin. Forget dying on the cross and then rising again 3 days later and making a way for us to have relationship with God, because it's only by the cross that we can come to God. Forget about all that, Jesus, and just fall down and worship me, and I'll give you glory. I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. Bypass the cross. The enemy loves to give us these shortcuts, and he promises us, yeah, if you do it, you're going to get the same thing that you would if you follow God. But it's such a lie. Can you imagine if Jesus bypassed the cross? Where would we be? It's a counterfeit. It's a lie. But Jesus was ready. He said, "Be gone, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. You see, the Bible says when we resist the devil and his lies, he has to flee. He has to flee. It says in James 4:7, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You see how it, right when Jesus said, you know what, "Be gone, Satan," the devil left him. See, the devil is defeated. It's just our choice to walk into victory. We have to make that choice to walk into victory. So what I want to do now is just highlight what Jesus did. You know, he knew the word. He wasn't like, oh, okay, yeah, that's a good point. Well, let me think about that. He wasn't messing around. Jesus was like, no, it is written. It is written. It is written. Three times quoting from Deuteronomy. He knew his stuff. He was ready to go. You know, I think of the scripture, I have hidden your word in my heart so I don't sin against you, in the Psalms. And you know, whenever I think of that scripture, don't you think of Danny Farnsworth? He has hidden the word. You know, I'm always so challenged by you, Danny. Sometimes Danny will say, okay, you know, what does Psalm, you know, 119 say? And I'm like, oh gosh, don't look at me. I don't know, Danny. Just tell me what it says. I don't know. I am so challenged by you and how you have hidden God's word in your heart. You are ready to combat the devil with the word. And I'm so honored to see your example. You know, and I'm not saying go home and memorize the entire Bible, but I'm saying have a couple verses memorized, have them stored up in your heart so that you can be ready. You know, if you know you struggle with anxiety or with fear or, you know, oh, does God love me really? You know, have a couple scriptures stored up so when the enemy comes, you can be ready with your sword. You know, the Bible refers to the word as the sword, a double-edged sword, alive and active. It's powerful. Do you know that you have the most powerful weapon, the word of God? And we can use that to combat the enemy. The Bible says in Ephesians, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And then it starts to list the armor of God. And last but not least, it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then in Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is alive and active. Man, I'm a living testimony of that. You know, I just started reading the Bible, and that's how I became a Christian. This isn't just a book. It changed my life. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We have a weapon, and we can use it. So what I want to do now is just read this verse, and then I want to share a little bit why I'm so passionate about this topic. So this is 1 Peter 5:8 through 9. It says, be alert and of sober mind. I love that, of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. So I want to share a little bit of my story. About a year and a half ago, it was 2015, I had a lot of stress in my life. And it wasn't just, you know, from one front. It was a lot of different areas. I was just really overwhelmed and stressed out. You know that expression, when it rains, it pours? It was kind of like that. You know, everything goes wrong all at once. I was stressed out. And then, as you know, when we're stressed, there goes our immune system. So then I kept getting sick over and over again. And I kept asking God, you know, what is going on? Why am I so sick all the time? And immediately God said, stress. And I was like, no. What else, God? Stress. So I wasn't handling my stress well. I was living an unhealthy life. I wasn't emotionally healthy. And the stress continued and continued. So then I'm sick all the time. And then Peter, my first son, he's sick all the time. And Jim is sick all the time. Then I started to get a little depressed, you know, because I'm constantly sick. I'm stressed out, not dealing with it. Then I start getting depressed. And on top of all that, I'm pregnant. Come on. I mean, really, how bad can it get, okay? So I'm pregnant, and that's just the whole thing in itself, right? If I had to sum up that season of my life, I would just say worn. I was so worn out. And you know, and it's so clear to me now, when I look back, it's like, wow, I was really creating quite the platform for the enemy to come and mess with me. So, you know, the devil tempts us when we're weak. So I was weak. I was emotionally, physically, and mentally worn. And I remember one night, I was just so congested. Ever, you know, be sick in a way where it's like you just can't even breathe? You know, I was just so congested. And And then I was pregnant, and at that point I was really pregnant. And you know, moms, you can't even breathe when you're pregnant. So, you know, I had two things against me there. So I remember I just would run downstairs in the middle of the night, because it was the worst at night because I was laying flat. And I would just run downstairs, and I would just open the front door, and I would just try to breathe in some air because I felt like I was suffocating. I was just so congested. And I, you know, went back upstairs, and I just remember sitting in bed. It's dark. It's, you know, 2 in the morning. Jim's sleeping next to me. And I was just so depressed, you know. And I heard this little voice, and it said, you know, nobody cares about you, and you're all alone. Even God abandoned you. And I thought, huh. And I knew that wasn't coming from me. I could tell it was like an outside voice. Now looking back, I know that was the enemy. And I thought, huh, nobody cares about me. I'm all alone. But the thing, the ringer that really got me was, even God has left you. Even God has abandoned you. And I thought, yeah, you're right. I am all alone. And even God left me. He doesn't even care about me. Look at me. I'm a mess. He's left me. And the second I entertained that lie, ooh, the enemy had a play day with me. Once I entertained that lie, just for a second, all the lies just kept coming and coming and coming, and I just kept taking and taking and taking them. I just remember weeping, and just, it's like as if hope was represented in a candle. It was just out, and I had lost my last thing that I was holding on to. And then the enemy started taking not just even my current state, but my past and my future. He started just rewriting it through eyes of darkness and lies and despair. So then he would remind me of things that happened in my past, and he'd say, yeah, remember that? Remember how you went through that? Yeah, God wasn't there for you either. Remember that? And I'd be like, oh, yeah, exactly, yeah. I was so confused. And then he would rewrite my future. Oh, yeah, you're expecting a baby. I hope the baby's going to be okay. Oh, wow. Fear, paranoia, you know, crippling fear. And I started to get angry at God. I'd never been angry at God before, but I was so angry at God. But, you know, my good friend Jane says, she always has taught me, anger usually is a secondary emotion. Usually there's a primary emotion that has caused that. For me, the primary emotion really was hurt. I thought that God had abandoned me and left me. And because of that, I was angry. And I started even scripture. As we know, the enemy kind of likes to twist scripture, right? He knows scripture. And so, you know, I always found so much comfort. You know that verse that says, you know, he holds us in the palm of his hand. And I used to always love that verse. Then the enemy would say, yeah, he's holding you in the palm of his hand. But it's not like an open, loving palm. It's a fist, you know, and you're stuck in the palm of his hand. You're stuck in his will. And his will is to mess up your life. So I just really started losing my faith. I started losing my trust in God. I questioned, you know, is God really good? You know, what is happening? And I didn't want to sing anymore. I didn't want to play the piano anymore. And if you know me, that is not good. I am all about singing and music. That's how I connect with God. So I was really losing myself and my faith. But you know what? God was not done with me yet. He was not finished with me yet. Even though I was unfaithful to God, he was still faithful to me. The Bible says that he is faithful. He cannot deny himself. Even when I'm unfaithful, he is faithful to me. And God was going to take what the enemy wanted to use for evil and use it for good. I love how Gene Coles always says, God wants to take our trials and use them as testimonies. And that's what he was going to do. So I remember we're in the car, Jim and I and Peter, and I'm still pregnant at this point, and we're going to Beverly and Glenn's house, because every couple months or so, the pastors and the pastors' wives, we have a get-together, and, you know, we just have a meal, and we talk about where we're at and how we can be praying for each other. And I remember being in the car, and I look at Jim, and I said, don't you dare tell those pastors where I'm at. You hear me? Poor Jim, right? He really puts up with a lot, man. And Jim is just like, okay, you know, what can you say to that, right? And at that point, really, Jim was the only one who knew that this was all happening. He was the only one that knew the depth of it, because the enemy kept saying, "You can't tell anybody how you're doing. Can you imagine? What would people think? You're a pastor's wife. Ooh. You know, what about Jim's reputation? You've got to think about that. You can't tell anybody how you're at." So I isolated myself, and all these lies are just swimming in my mind. And they became bigger and bigger, and I got more and more confused. And that's what the enemy loves to do, right? He loves to isolate us. You know, we get to church, "How are you?" "I'm good." "And you?" "Oh, I'm good." Meanwhile, you're dying inside, right? That's what I did. That's what the enemy loves when we put on this pretty mask. "Oh, I'm great." Yeah. No, you're not. And you need to be authentic and real. And so I'm isolating myself and drowning in lies, and nobody even knew. Okay, so we get in the car. We get to Beverly and Glenn's, and I don't even know what happened. It was only God. We sit down, and it gets my turn to share, you know, where we're at and what's going on. And I just puke everything out. I'm losing my faith. I don't know what's happening. And Jim's looking at me like, "Whoa, you told me not to say anything, and now you're saying, what is going on?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I just, only God. He is faithful. Thank you, Jesus." So I just start telling them, "I don't know if God is good. I'm really getting confused." And guess what? Nobody dropped dead. Nobody judged me. The pastor's wife just, yeah, they were listening. They were caring for me. Nobody said, "Yeah, Jim, you're fired." No. It's so stupid now, but in the moment, it just, that lie was so real. They listened. They cared for me. We've got amazing pastors, don't we? We've got amazing pastor's wife, don't we? Yeah, we do. And so, you know, after Beverly comes, and man, is Beverly not a woman of God? She is amazing. And so Beverly comes, and she's like, "Hey, how you doing? What's going on?" And I began to just tell her more about all these lies, and she heard me out. And, you know, and then God led me through a process of really redefining who he really is based on the word, not on this, you know, idol that the enemy had created, but who God really is based on the word. And it was a process. It didn't happen overnight. I kind of felt like I was dating God for a little bit. I would spend a little bit of time with him, and then I would, "Okay, God." And then the next day I'd spend a little bit more time, because I had lost trust because of the lies of the enemy. It was a process. But now I'm stronger, and I'm more mature, and I'm better for it. And I thank God. And so now, moving forward, 2017, about a month ago, we all had that GI bug. Me, Jim, and Peter. A lot of us had that GI bug. We were really sharing that thing. So we all had this GI bug. Thank God Joshua didn't. And I remember I got to the point where I was so dehydrated. That bug was relentless, you know what I'm saying? And so I was so dehydrated, and I remember coming back from the bathroom and going to the room. And you know that feeling when you know you're going down? You know, it's like the room was kind of spinning, I'm sweating. And I had just enough strength to say, "Jim, help me. Jim, help me." And then I was down. And I remember I woke up, and I'm looking around, and my ears are ringing, and my body's tingling, and Jim is like, "You passed out. You were out." And so he lays me on the bed, and then right when he lays me on the bed, then, of course, Peter starts screaming from his room, and he's, you know, throwing up. And Jim looks at me. He's like, "What do you want me to do?" You know, poor Jim. he's like, "What do you want me to do?" I'm like, go to Peter. I'm fine. So I'm laying there, but I'm scared to move. I don't want to sit up. I don't know if I'm going to pass out again. And so I'm just laying there, and I'm like, "I'll just wait for Jim. I'm so thirsty right now." And then, wouldn't you know, I heard that voice again. "See, you are all alone." But this time, I was ready. I was ready. And I said, "No, I'm not. God is with me. God is with me." And wouldn't you know, the enemy left just like that. God is with me. I was ready that time. I was like, "Enemy, don't you dare try to lead me down that path again. I'm ready. I have the word hidden in my heart. And it says, God, you will never leave me or forsake me." Are you getting this? I hope you're getting this. So, you know, God is so good. And what I want to do now is I have a couple what I like to call declaration statements. So if you look in your bulletin, there should be a little piece of yellow paper. And what I did, I just asked the Lord, I said, you know, God, just show me areas that the enemy is lying to us as a body, and give me some scripture so I can encourage them. Give me some scripture so that I can put some truth, put some light on these lies. And that's what I did, and these are the verses that God has given me. And so what I want to do is just read them to you. And I put them as I statements, but I did that so that when you get home, you can just declare these statements over yourself. So when I'm reading, it's not just for me, it's for all of us. You know what I mean? Okay, so I'm going to read these. And, you know, if you want to read along, you can. And I think they're passing some out. If you didn't get one, you can go ahead and raise your hand. So if you want to read along with me, you can. If you just want to close your eyes and just listen, you can. You know, whatever helps you focus more is fine. So I'll start reading. I am not alone. It is written, the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Because of you, God, I am fearless. It is written, God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I am safe in you. I can run to you and be safe. It is written, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. I can trust you. It is written, this I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. I am victorious in you. It is written, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. When I live my life your way, I am strong and courageous. It is written, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. When I talk to you, God, you hear me. It is written, when he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. You get me, God. You understand me. You know me. It is written, O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You made me beautiful. Did you hear that, ladies? You are beautiful. It is written, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I am not forgotten. It is written, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. I am not weak. It is written, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. There's a couple more on the back. Are you getting this? Are you being encouraged today? I hope you're being encouraged. My inadequacies do not disqualify me from being included in God's kingdom. I'm going to read that again. My inadequacies do not disqualify me from being included in God's kingdom. It is written, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. I am comforted by God. It is written, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. I am a child of God. It is written, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Now you might be thinking, well, hey, hold on. I'm not a child of God. I don't call myself a Christian. God's not my master. You might be in the same headspace that I was in a couple years ago. I was losing my faith, and I don't know if I would call myself a child of God. So I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you call yourself a Christian, if you're following God or not. But I can say this confidently. You are loved. You are loved by God. You are loved by God. You are loved. You are loved. You are loved. And I know that because it is written, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Here's another one. It is written, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone, don't disqualify yourself. It says, everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Now, I've heard another lie. Oh, well, I got to get myself cleaned up before I can accept God as my Lord. Oh, I got to get myself right, you know. I got to learn just a little bit more, you know, before I can accept God as my Savior. Don't receive that lie. The Bible says today is the day. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Today is the day of salvation. Stop waiting. Today is the day of salvation. It is written, for God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. And guess what? You and I can have a brand new start. Isn't that amazing? We can have a brand new start in Christ. It is written, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Amen. Amen. It's my prayer that you are encouraged and that you will take this and just own it. So when the enemy comes at you with lies, you can say, it is written. It is written. It is written. Get the word in your heart. Be ready. Be sober-minded. Because the devil, he roams around and he's looking to mess you up. You know, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You have got to be ready. Get the word in your heart. And if you don't know Jesus, he is ready. Receive that gift of salvation. Stop listening to the lies of the enemy that you're not good enough or that you got to learn more, you got to clean yourself up. Receive his salvation today. Today is the day. God bless you.